You are listening to Sparking Wholeness with Erin Carey, where we talk about all things related to nutrition for mind, body, and soul. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody, it's Erin Carey, and welcome back to Sparking Wholeness. Today, I am sitting down with Allison Saman. She is a functional nutrition and lifestyle practitioner who works virtually with people to get out of chronic illness, escape from mystery symptoms, and help redesign their lifestyle so that they can be fit, energized, and pain-free in ways that are easy, fun, and sustainable. Allison struggled with unexplained chronic pain for over 10 years. Her remarkable healing journey became the basis for her programs, Reboot from Chronic Illness and the Chronic Illness Recovery Blueprint. She's also written on an ebook, Detoxing Endocrine Disruptors, Essential Checklist, and is a featured author in the Amazon International bestseller, Teach Your Expertise. But her proudest accomplishment is becoming a first-time mom over 40, I love that, and inspiring other women to successfully have healthy pregnancies, despite being considered, oh, that label, geriatric. So Allison, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's so good to be here.
Yeah. Now I was a geriatric pregnancy patient at 36. So,
or no, I think my gosh,
but I know that's just so crazy to me. So when I saw that,
advanced maternal age.
Right. Yeah.
Come on.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your journey, because I think I love I love getting the personal stories of these guests that have overcome these debilitating issues. And now you're helping other people thrive with whatever it is that they're suffering from.
Yeah. Well, it all started because I thought I was healthy. I thought I was a healthy, active person because I worked out.
Right.
I went to the gym and I ate low fat. And at the time, that was the conventional wisdom that that was the key to being healthy. And so I thought, hey, if it's fat free, I can have it. And I work out and it's no big deal. It was that whole old calories in, calories out. And I was all about it. But what I wasn't considering was that, yeah, my body hurts. So like I'm focusing all of this energy on not gaining weight, and I'm only unhealthy if I gain weight. And my body, I started having chronic pain, started in my lower back, and then it was my butt. So sitting was excruciating.
Wow.
And at the time I commuted into New York City, and it was about an hour on a bus. It was just miserable. So sitting was a problem. And then my foot. So it felt like my foot was never, like I couldn't feel it on the ground. It was almost like pins and needles were just numb. And my knees. So I couldn't walk, couldn't sit. And I just felt like this old lady. And I didn't understand it because I'm doing all of the things. I'm doing all of the right things. And as time went on, I didn't consider the fact that I was also not pooping regularly. I thought that was a good thing,
right?
Because you don't want people to know, old me didn't want people to know that I pooped, let alone, you know, it was just more convenient to not go very often. I thought it was better. And I had hormone imbalance that I didn't know was there. Because when you get the birth control pill to regulate your hormones, you don't have a hormone issue. So you think, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of these things were going on, and I was struggling with this unexplained chronic pain. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me because my pain, I had so many MRIs and so many scans and so many therapists and so many orthopedists and orthopedic surgeons. And like my pain wasn't consistent with the scans. I had a bulging disc. I had a torn meniscus, but there were all of these things. And it was unexplained. They couldn't figure it out. In all of these years, 10 years of going to every top person in New York City, New Jersey, anybody who said, go see this guy. Okay. I went Michelle Kwan's guy, Wayne Gretzky's guy. Like I went to the top. And when they couldn't figure it out and they wanted to do exploratory surgery, I'm like, what do you need to explore? Like, I'm telling you that this hurts. You're just going to cut me open and just look around and see what you find. And I thought, there has to be something I'm missing here. And I don't know what happened that I had this like this revelation that it's not that, it's not surgery, I'm not going to do it. And I ultimately was referred to a practitioner who introduced me to this crazy newfangled concept that you may have heard of, and it's called nutrition. I had no idea that that was a missing piece in what was wrong and what would explain why I had so much pain and inflammation all day, every day. And all of these symptoms were more like branches that were coming out, and they just kept being more and more and more. And I wasn't connecting the dots of how it was all related. It was like, yeah, I don't poop, but that's not the problem. My problem is I can't walk. The problem is I'm uncomfortable sitting. My problem is I get migraines. And so I had medication for this and I had medication for that. And so all of these different band-aids, but nothing was solving the problem. And one of the medications that I was on for my knees was recalled for causing heart attacks. And part of my story, while I was on this journey, this healing journey, my father died suddenly at 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
In perfect outward shape, muscular, active, happy, not a drinker, not a smoker, which, you know, flies in the face of what we think of as healthy and everything I was trying to make sure I was. Meanwhile, I'm falling apart on the inside. He had severe heart disease.
Wow.
That we didn't know he had because nobody was looking, because he looked perfect on the outside. And so it was all of these things that just kept compounding. And finally, I wondered if I was having the early warning signs of what happened to my dad. And also, we're missing something, because how does this happen to a guy like that? Mm-hmm. And so when the nutrition piece came in and I started feeling less pain immediately, I mean, I wasn't cured in a day, but I had less pain in a day just by removing certain foods that I was eating because I thought they were healthy.
Yeah.
And it was actually causing me more pain and inflammation. Like orange juice was like the big thing that he's like, why are you drinking orange juice? I'm like, because of vitamin C. And I grew up thinking, you know, you want to have your healthy cereal and your orange juice. And that's part of a good old American breakfast. And he's like, so why don't you have strawberries or eat an orange or have broccoli? And I was like, what? Orange juice is where you get your C from. That's what they say. I didn't drink orange juice. The next day, my knee didn't hurt. And I was like, is that what I needed to do all this time? I'm drinking it because I thought I had to. And so that's how it began. This religious conversion to nutrition that I had, that like, wow, this really works. And I didn't know that I wasn't doing it right, because I was following all of the magazines, all of the fads is really what I was following, and not looking at my own health history, things that I needed to be mindful of, my dad. So now suddenly heart disease is a risk factor for me. And that was not something we ever considered. And it had nothing to do with being overweight, because he wasn't either. And so you can be physically fit, physically active, and still have severe heart disease. But there were other factors as the years went on, after I started healing myself, and I was like, I have to solve this problem. Like, what happened with my dad? And then all of these ahas, his diet was terrible. He was low fat. He was not eating a very fiber-filled diet. He was devoid of a lot of that stuff that we now know is heart supportive, liver supportive, digestive supportive. Like we're not thinking in those terms. It was very much a black and white, fat or thin, healthy, sick. And so to make a very long story short, that's when I started experimenting with myself first. Okay, so if I bring this in, how do I feel? How does that make my body feel? Oh, I don't have migraines anymore. I don't have to take that medication. Oh, I actually get my period regularly without being on a medication. Huh, Because I went on it in the first place because I wasn't getting my periods. And that was the solution. Not let's fix why you're not getting your periods.
Right.
Let's give you this medication to have a fake period, mm-hmm. which I didn't know was fake.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told, your body's going to do whatever your body's going to do. So if you go off of it, it's just going to do that. And so I experimented with that. And sure enough, I didn't get my period. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I have to go back on. After learning about all of the things I can do to help my body to heal. And then I realized, well, I shouldn't be on this anymore. I'm 35. I shouldn't be on the pill. Why don't I stop? 28 days later, I ovulated probably at least the first time that I noticed. And it was regular ever since. And I was like, wow. Ain't that something?
That's
your body. Yes. Your body. And I was told that at 20, you know, my early 20s, my body's going to do, if I'm not getting my period, I'm just not going to get my period without this substance, without this chemical help. And your body wants to heal. And if you give it the right tools, it will do that. It's miraculous that way. And so that began my, okay, this is for real. Diet and lifestyle, it's the real deal. And it's life-changing. You don't have to be on all of these medications. And even as you get older, you can still reverse things that were plaguing you when you were young. Even as you get older, as long as you're building that foundation and supporting yourself nutritionally and also here, right? So it's the whole circle.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Oh, that's so good. You mentioned so many things that I want to touch back on. But one thing that I have to ask, because I do hear this a lot from a lot of people.
Yeah.
You were talking about being chronically constipated. Was that a lifelong thing for you? Or was that a newer and adulthood thing? Because oftentimes I will hear people say, oh, I've just been like that since I was a little kid. I've always been like that. Or do you think it was the birth control pill that contributed to that?
I remember being a kid in elementary school and struggling with constipation, getting stomach aches. And it was because I hadn't gone. And it was because I was a poor eater.
Mm.
Something happened once I turned 5. I stopped. I just became a really picky eater.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke was, oh, Allison can go to jail because she survives on bread and water. Like that I'd be fine there because that's all I cared about eating, bread and water. That's it. Right. So, yes, it was something that was on and off. And even when I got older and I was responsible for myself, I didn't suddenly decide, oh, I'm going to start eating healthy. I still was having Lucky Charms as my healthy cereal. Well, because, mm-hmm. you know, I can have marshmallow. My mom wouldn't let me have it, but I can do that now because I work out.
Right. Yeah. I make up for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, it was something that I struggled with on and off, but I never made the connection that it had to do with my diet.
Right. And because it was your quote normal. And that happens to a lot of people. They're like, well, that's just me. That's how I am. That's my normal. But we know that normal isn't necessarily optimal, right?
Right. It's common. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's a common complaint among people, but no, it's not normal. It's not normal to not go, to bring stuff in your body and not excrete the waste. Not normal.
Yeah. But for a lot of people, that's how they live. And, you know, while we are on the topic, another thing that is not optimal that many of us are just used to and think it's part of life is not being able to focus clearly. I often describe it at like my brain is a pinball machine of activity and I'm doing all things and I'm never really feeling like I'm doing any one thing well. It's hard to be 100% focused and it's hard to be focused without a little bit of anxious energy happening in my brain at all times. Well, I have found this little shot. Yes, it is a shot that has improved my morning so much. I can take it with me anywhere. I can drink it whenever I need a quick energy boost, but it goes really well with my morning routine and my morning coffee. And it is called Magic Mind. It has become my best friend for all the chill. As a mom, as a content creator, as a podcaster, for everything that I'm doing, I need optimal concentration and focus. And this little shot of Magic Mind does the trick. This gives me mental energy. It makes me more productive and I can get a lot more done in less time. And I'm not frazzled by little things. Things aren't overwhelming me the way that they typically have been in the past. Now, you guys know that I'm a big ingredient snob. And so of course I have to share some of the ingredients that improve this product so much for me. And Bacopa is a big one. I have not ever used anything with Bacopa monnieri in it. It is a nootropic that improves attention span, the ability to process and learn new information, and memory. I love that. I need all of the memory and cognitive function that I can get. But it also has things like ashwagandha that reduces stress and anxiety, and rhodiola that can reduce fatigue and anxiety and increase the body's resistance to stress. It even improves physical and mental endurance. There's some mushrooms in there. There is matcha in there. The profile of ingredients is pretty incredible. If you are like me and your brain is often a little bit of a pinball machine, I recommend that you try it. You can get it at magicmind.com/wholeness20. With Wholeness 20, you also get up to 56% off your first subscription of 20% off your one-time purchase. That's Wholeness 20 for 56% off. It also works if you're already a subscriber. If you've tried it before, you can save on your next subscription payment. I am not the only person hyping up this product. A lot of people have been talking about it. Joe Rogan had it on his podcast. The Kardashians are drinking it. This is one of the few companies with a 100% money-back guarantee, no questions asked. There's really no risk here. If you don't like it, they're going to refund it in 3 to 4 hours. And I'm telling you, you are going to notice a difference. You're going to like it. And it's going to help improve your productivity. It's going to help improve your focus, your energy. And if it helped me and my bouncing brain, I know that it can help you and your brain. In fact, I shared it with my husband, and he loved the way that it made him feel as well. So it's magicmind.com/wholeness20 with discount code wholeness20 for up to 56% off your subscription. I'd get the 30 pack if I was you. It's the best value. And I promise you are going to want to have this every day. So as we are talking about how everything is not compartmentalized as much as, you know, Allison, you mentioned you thought that it was. I know that I have experienced this myself as well. So how does that connectedness of all things working together play a role in what you do now?
Yeah, well, because everything matters. And so I will talk with a client and getting the details. I mean, we go through everything with a fine tooth comb. I want everything because it's all connected. And that's what I've come to realize is that, you know, in Western medicine, they segment the body, and there's reason for that. I mean, there's good, sometimes that's necessary to go to the gastroenterologist, to go to the endocrinologist, to go to, the allergist. Like there's different reasons to go to different, a neurologist. And also you can't forget about how those systems overlap. And that's one of the things that I do with clients is show them how, if you are having issues, gastrointestinal issues, if you've had constipation for a long time, that's going to affect your detoxification. That's going to affect your immune system. It's actually all connected, and it might be coming from environmental. So we have to look at that. Are there things in your environment, or is, like for me, it was an intake. I was having little vegetables. My mom gave us vegetables. I just didn't like them. So I ate more junk. And again, as a kid in those days, and I guess still today, because I have a kid and I see what it's just a kid. You can have more of this junk because you're a kid and that's what kids eat. My kid doesn't eat that way. And he's a regular pooper. Mm-hmm. There are other kids who are struggling with that. And I don't allow him. I don't want to say it like that. Like I'm one of those. But I give him an alternative that looks like what everybody else is having. It's just up-leveled.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't feel like he's doing anything different, but he's so happy and he loves to eat. And he also eats a tremendous amount of fruits and vegetables. Like that's his go-to. I'm digressing a little bit, but it matters because it's all connected and all things matter. And also everybody is unique. Mm-hmm. And so you could have constipation. I can have constipation. You got 10 more people with constipation, but it's for different. It might be because it's medically induced. It might be because they're not mobile. It might be because there's an obstruction. It might be because they have an absorption issue and they're not absorbing their nutrients. And so there's a stomach acid issue. Like there's so many different reasons you can have the same diagnosis, but the route to resolution, and this is functional medicine and functional nutrition, and why that made so much sense to me, because I didn't fit in. I didn't have a diagnosis. I never had a diagnosis. That's what I was looking for.
Right. Just tell me what's wrong. Yeah.
Tell me what's wrong. Give me the pill for my ill.
Yes. Fix me.
There wasn't. Yes. Yeah. I wanted to be fixed. I waited and waited and went to every single, eating my hair, went to every single person to try to fix me. And when I finally had that revelation and this practitioner introduced me to, like, I get to fix me. Because part of it is here in my head that I'm thinking I'm broken. I need to be fixed. I'm waiting for somebody to save me. What's wrong with me? To my body wants to heal. There are things I can do to be better. I just didn't know I wasn't doing good enough by my body. Holy moly. When I bring in other foods, my body responds in a positive way. And so the functional way is to look at how is your body, look at each individual and what optimizes their function based on all of their health history, their life situation, their likes and preferences, their own physiology. And so, did that answer your question?
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, this is so much fun. And so with that, you know, I would love to just touching on that whole idea that what is considered common, sometimes people even consider normal, but what's common doesn't have to be normal, and it's definitely not optimal. And so I would love to spend the rest of our time, in case we rabbit trail somewhere else, but just talking about one of probably the most common complaints of moms, women, especially probably women over 30, maybe over 35, is fatigue, exhaustion, overwhelm. Yeah. Let's unravel that. I would love to hear from you. Like, why is this such a quote common issue and concern? And you know, a lot of women will go to their medical practitioner and be like, yeah, I'm dealing with this, this, this. And they'll, you know, their well-meaning, well-intentioned practitioner will say, well, yeah, well, you're 38, you know, or you're 45 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I still feel like that's so young and there's so much life to be lived. And I hate the idea that so many women are being limited and not being allowed to thrive in the way that they want to thrive. So with that being said, why are so many women struggling with this fatigue and exhaustion?
Yeah, well, it is a self-induced hormone imbalance. And I know as women and as we age, your hormones do fluctuate and then things do become imbalanced. But this is different because I think to be fair, being a mom in and of itself, it comes with a whole level of fatigue that you've never could have imagined.
True.
I remember when I was pregnant, they said, well, you better sleep now because you won't sleep for the next 18 years. So there's that. And, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you're supposed to get your energy from food. And we in society have been conditioned to get our energy from coffee or sugar. And that was meant for me. That was my drug of choice, or soda. You need caffeine or sugar. I need a pick me up. And I was never a coffee drinker. I was never a soda drinker, but sugar. And whenever I was feeling tired, it's so easy to grab. And your body knows I need a hit. I need that boost, that glucose boost. The problem with doing that, and why I say it sets up a hormone imbalance, is you set up this vicious cycle because your body instinctively knows I need, when my blood sugar is low because I skipped breakfast because I had to get everybody out the door, get everybody ready. I had to get to work. It's so crazy. I don't have time to eat, or I'm not hungry in the morning, or I'm nauseous in the morning, or I just, you know, I had my coffee and, you know, I'll eat later. And then you're starting off on empty. And so you're in crash territory. You need that pick me up. You're going to grab a bagel, a muffin, a donut, something. Carbs is what we crave because we want that sugar. We need that boost. You get that, you suddenly have the glucose spike And so you're like, well, no, I'm good. I'm energized. Like everything is really good. But now it's too much because you either ate too much because you were famished and you're like, oh God, and I don't have time. So let me just get this all in here. And then your insulin is going to be released. Like, hey, we have to get this glucose into our cells for energy. And let's do that really, really quickly. And then you have a crash again. And so it sets this vicious cycle up. And you do this long enough, you're setting yourself up to just be chronically fatigued because your adrenals are pumping, your insulin, every time your insulin is raised really high, you're causing inflammation, free radical, oxidative stress. So you're less likely to repair the injury from that workout that you did. Mm-hmm. You're less likely to repair just from like normal wear and tear, chasing your kids around, lifting them up, schlepping all of their stuff. you need that rest and repair. But every time you have a spike, you don't want to have these big spikes. You want to kind of ride the wave. And it's a natural course of you start to dip a little bit, you eat some food, you come up a little bit, but it's more even, steady, rather than up, down, up, down, up, down. And it becomes this vicious cycle. And you and me become just chronically fatigued, feeding the wrong information into our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure that there are also so many other factors that exacerbate that. So like stress, right? And what about even those well-intentioned workouts, you know, like the high pay or fast pace, high intensity. Yeah. Like you said, if there's no rest and repair, if there's no recovery, because your body is just working so hard all the time, then that can create more issues, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. Because that you're running on adrenaline then, which is it's that primal, I'm being chased by a saber-toothed tiger. I'm just going to run. Your body's not going to do anything else other than, you know, it's not going to digest. It's not going to repair. It's just saving your life. And so if you're running on that, eventually you're going to crash. You can't constantly be having this cortisol response. That's our stress hormone. And so the more stressed we are, the less we sleep, the more your body thinks that it is an emergency and we have to have that energy, and that cortisol is our get up and go. And so we want cortisol. We don't want no cortisol. We want it in the morning, and then we want it, you know, get up and go, let's move. And then start to slowly as the day goes on until we get to sleepy time. But also, you know, society, the world that we live in now is pretty much up and going all the time.
All the time, yeah.
And it's not the way we're innately programmed or physiologically programmed to be awake and with all of the lights and all of the things like into the evening, because then we don't have time, as we have to catch up in the nighttime. And I've been guilty of this too.
Right.
It's not blaming anybody. It's just the way the world is, for moms in particular, I would say, right? Because we have so many jobs.
We do. Yeah. And we're not getting paid for all of them either.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And we also put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be the perfect mom. I mean, I've stayed up late making cupcakes for school, and we're doing making the t-shirt for the whatever theme day it is. And I'm painting, and it's 10:30 at night, and I'm so tired, but I'm painting so he can have it for the morning time. And, you know, but we have to acknowledge and honor what our bodies need. And once you do that, it starts to calm and come back into balance a lot faster than you might think. And oftentimes I'll bring in herbs and the right foods but you know, adaptogenic herbs to help with that calming, to help let your body know that it's safe, and mindset tools to let your brain know, like, hey, great job, mama. And also, it's time to now rest. It's safe to go to sleep. Everything is going to be great tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be amazing. And like kind of setting that story, putting on that projector in your brain so that you can get the proper sleep, so that you can have that repair, that digestive repair, that muscular repair, and not have these surges in hormones. Yep. Save it for the morning time. So you're not waking up in the middle of the night because there's an emergency, or your hormones are telling you that there's an emergency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you're always in that, I mean, you mentioned something I thought that's so great, is that whole, that idea that, oh, wait, my body's not safe. You know, that hypervigilant alert state, because everything is an emergency. Everything is urgent. And so we need to find ways to create safety in the body. So what are some tools that you use to, you know, if somebody's listening going, oh my gosh, how do I even get started? I know I'm living that way. Yeah. So what are some starting points?
Well, if it's for at bedtime.
Anytime. For anything, whether it's related or any kind of hacks. Or
breathing, connecting with your breath. It sounds so simple. And so like, yeah, I breathe. I bet you don't. I will catch myself not breathing where I'm like, you know, cause I'm talking, I talk a lot. I lead group programs. Like I'm constantly talking. And then I'm like, I'm not breathing. If you know, you're not using your full lung capacity. And so if you can catch yourself and go, oh, wait, hold on. Let me breathe. And how deep can you breathe in and holding that breath? And you can actually hold your breath longer than you think. And it sort of like recalibrates your breath and it gets deeper and deeper. And so that's the first thing. And I teach my son that all the time because, you know, the toddlers are emotional. They're just emotion, emotional bombs going off. And to try to teach him to breathe so he can calm down. Do you feel better? But so catching yourself, making sure that you're breathing, that you're not forgetting to breathe. That deep breath, feeling your feet on the floor. Cause that's another thing. Just that grounding helps you to get your head back. Yep. Sometimes you can't think because there's so many things going on in your head. Okay. I am here. Like putting your feet down, that puts you in the present moment. And so that you're only worrying about what's here and what's in front of you, the task at hand. I also like going outside.
Yeah.
I know that some times of the year, it's not, in some parts in the world, it's not the best thing, but changing your state. For me, it's sunshine. Like I, even though it's like super hot, just getting the sun on my face. Oh, it helps me to calm, even if it's just 5 minutes, leaving the room, going outside, 5 minutes, breathing or going for a little walk, 5 minutes, 20 is best, but 5 minutes, if that's all you got, it helps you to just like recenter. And so that's for any time.
Yeah.
And then if it's at nighttime, I love to write down, like there's two ways to approach it. Some people journal like all of the things, like their fears, their hopes. I like a gratitude journal so that you're not getting lost in them, which some people, it's therapeutic to just get it out. But other times it's like, okay, well, what went well? Because I work in the chronic illness community. So there's often not a lot going well, or they're not seeing what's going well because they're in pain. When you're in pain, that's your focus.
Absolutely.
And the stress of, I can't do this with my family, or this hurts, or I'm disappointed in myself, or I had to cancel that event because I can't. I mean, I lived it, not socializing. I'm in my 20s and I'm not dating and I'm not socializing and I'm not doing all these things because I'm miserable. And writing down what, even if it's just, I hit all the green lights. What can you be grateful for? And then, you know, 3 to 5 things. And then what's going to be amazing about tomorrow? Even if you don't know, but see it as like, I am going to win that proposal. I am going to get that deal on the whatever I was trying to purchase. My kids are going to cooperate and go out the door on time. Whatever it is, see it. And write it down. And it just gives your subconscious, just it's telling him, hey, you can just relax. It's all going to be fine. It's all going to be safe. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be better than fine. And I find that you can sleep better, get into a better sleep, a deeper sleep, once you let your brain know that you can just relax. Yeah. You can sleep and your body can heal and you can go through your detoxification processes. You're going to be so much better off. You get that good night's sleep, which I know with chronic illness and chronic pain and constipation and fatigue, you could be wired and tired. Like it switches, you know, and when you should be sleeping, you're like, I'm awake, but you have to back it up. And so like, yes, there's work we're doing here. And there's also work we're doing on that blood sugar balance so that you can regulate your hormones so that at nighttime, when your body kicks in to do what it needs to do, you can just let it take over. I'm sleeping now, having the good dreams about how amazing tomorrow is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned even with things like chronic fatigue, chronic illness, chronic pain, especially, it is very difficult to want to connect with your body and to want to be grounded in the present. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, chronic pain for sure, but even chronic fatigue, it's like, if I slow down and actually connect with how exhausted I am, that's kind of depressing, you know? Right. That's a really big step for somebody who is just living in survival mode, you know, just right. That reconnecting is hard when you're like, I'm just trying to survive here.
And it's also just acknowledging your body, thanking your body. Mm-hmm. Thank you for working so hard for me. Mm-hmm. Because your body does what your mind tells it to do.
Yep.
And so if you say, I realize I've been pushing you. I've been doing all of those things. Thank you for working for me. That's what it wants to do. No matter what we do to it, it still wants to keep going. And it will until eventually it starts to crap out. I mean, that's what happened for me. It's just, I hit the burden of too much crap going in.
Yeah.
Not enough crap going out, literally. Mm-hmm. And figuratively. And you just can't take it anymore. Like when you're young, oftentimes we're more resilient, but you compound all of these stressors. So thank you so much for digesting this food. Thank you so much for working to repair, because a lot of that fatigue is coming from, you're not getting the energy from food.
Yeah.
You're either giving it the wrong information or there's an impairment. There's some kind of dysfunction that it's not breaking down food properly. Digestion itself is the most energy you're going to consume in a day. It's the hardest thing your body does every day. Yeah. So optimizing that will help you to have more energy and help your sleep cycle. So again, I do think it comes back to gratitude. And, you know, I know I've been there when, you know, you feel miserable and it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like that's not going to solve the problem. But it does make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Just that partnership, like you said, the partnership and thank you, body, for protecting me, even though the symptoms are unpleasant. I know that this is protection on some level. I think that's so important.
Yes.
There are some digestive tips or support that you offer, that you frequently recommend for people for better digestion, because I know that that's a huge piece of the puzzle and that's a big concern mm-hmm. for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have to, you know, so many people are told that they have high stomach acid, acid reflux. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that most often, not in every case, but most often it's low. You're not breaking down the food. And the part of the reason why they're experiencing GERD acid reflux is because of the poor diet that they were eating, because of the overconsumption of caffeine, refined sugars, flours, just chemical laden food like substances, mm-hmm. right? And soda, all of these things. And it actually weakens your lower esophageal sphincter. Mm-hmm. And so it's supposed to be a one-way door opening. And so if it stays a little bit open, and as your stomach acids start churning in the normal digestive process, it goes up, but it's not because it's too high. It's because the door was left open. Mm-hmm. And low stomach acid, you get low stomach acid because of the diet that also leaves the door open. Yeah. So it's like compounding effect. So that's one of the first things that we work on is do you have optimal stomach acid so that you can break down food to even begin that digestive process, which again really begins here, right? Begins in the head. So thinking about, so not rushing through, I just got to eat and go. But I do have people practice gratitude of overeating.
Yeah, I like that.
So thanking your stomach for knowing what to do with the food and breaking down the food so that you can have energy and you can rebuild cells and strong muscles and have your organs function and your hormones signaling. And but also thanking, wow, whoever made this food, or oh, look at this amazing meal I made myself, and who grew this food? That's amazing. And thanking the farmers and thanking, or if you eat animal, thanking the animal for giving its life so that I can have a healthy life. And so starting there, but so that's also part of the relaxing enough to be able to take in nutrients to set yourself up for a healthy digestion. But stomach acid is very common, eating in a hurry. So slowing down, chewing is part of that slowing down. So, you know, that mechanical process and carbohydrates begin to digest in your mouth.
Yeah.
And so if we're again, how many times did I scarf down my meal at my desk because I used to work in television. So I had to be on set. And like, there's not time. Okay, you're in a meeting and, you know, and how many of us do that? Not helpful. not help. Causes indigestion, doesn't help constipation.
Yeah.
It's just eating in that stressful state. So being calm is such a huge game changer for eating. And I do this test with people, you know, how many times do you chew before you swallow? And it's usually surprising, like how little people chew before they swallow. And as a mom, I find I'm a very slow eater, but I find that sometimes I will swallow too soon because there's a little one that I'm like, wait, okay, don't do that. And do you find that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. That is a constant. Or eating standing up, right? I mean, moms are the worst about eating whatever. Yeah. Eating fast, eating standing up, eating the kids, rest of the kids' plate real fast while standing up by the dishwasher. I mean, it's just, it's a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
We're all guilty. And so it's not blame. It's more, we laugh about it. Like, yep, that's just how it kind of goes. And that's where, you know, being mindful of like recognizing like, oh, I did it again. Okay. I'm going to do over.
Yep.
Everybody slow down. Cause also your kids are watching you.
Yes. It's such a good tool for them. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, slow down mentioned thinking about even just like the stomach acid considerations and healthy digestion. I find that there are a lot of people that are not feeling energized by eating. They're feeling the opposite. They're fatigued by eating,
yes.
Right? Or
yes.
They're bloated by eating. Or
yes.
So, you know, if my question for listeners, if the food that you're eating isn't giving you energy, if it's doing the opposite, if you're actually not feeling full and you're hungry within an hour, it might be time to look at those eating behaviors. It might be look at not so much, I mean, the what you're eating is important, but it might be a how you're eating. That's an issue. So I love that you broke all that down.
And that's a great first step. And it's cheap.
It is. It's
just
free.
Look.
But it's too free. Hard. Like meditating and breathing. And it's like, oh, but I have to rewrite all of these decades of not doing it the right way.
Right. And for the moms, I say, you know, like my son will be like, I'm winning. And I'm like, honey, it's not a race. This is not a race. We want to see who can eat the slowest is the winner so that we can chew our food and like, don't talk while your mouth is full. And not because you don't want it spit all over the place, but because it's teaching those habits of slowing down. And I look at it as, you know, this is our opportunity to spend some more time together before bedtime. So let's just have a little bit more time. I get like during the day, you're working, you're on the go. There's so many things. And also you're going to set yourself up for success and better noticing. I mean, that's one of the most important things is getting in tune with your body. What is it? Is it the behavior or is it the food? Is it because it's not really a food or is it a healthy food, but my body isn't liking that?
Mm-hmm.
And so having that awareness, tuning into what your body likes and doesn't like, I mean, that was a huge thing for me, is discovering, because I thought everything was fine. Like it wasn't my food that was the problem. Right. Of course not. I was a healthy, active person. I knew I didn't eat, you know, I had snacks, of course, but so did everybody. Mm-hmm. Like that was the mentality. I couldn't.
That's a low calorie snacks, probably, right?
Low calorie and low zero fat. Yeah. Right. So Twizzler pull and peels, mm-hmm. that's fine to have as a snack while I'm, you know, cutting coupons on the weekend, reading the paper. Mm-hmm. This is what I would do. I catch up on my soaps and a whole bag of Twizzler pull and peels.
I forgot about those things. I remember them. That's so funny. Are those even still around? I don't know.
I think so. Not at the stores I shop in, but yeah, right. I think that they are. And I remember loving them and the thought, I mean, it's nothing but chemicals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's nothing.
Yeah. We know this now, but back then it's like, yeah, zero fat and
totally fine. Right. And so making that connection, like, oh yeah. When I didn't drink the orange juice, I didn't have the pain. That's interesting. So if I have this, I don't remember what I switched to for breakfast, but I think I just stopped the orange juice. And to make that mental connection, because your body looks for pleasure.
Yeah.
If there's pain, that's all it's going to focus on, and stop the stress response created from that pain. You stop looking for pleasure. So if you can stop the pain and focus on what makes you feel good. So if this makes you feel bad, okay, let's stop that. What makes me feel good? Oh, because you can't find both at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So it does take some mindfulness, some awareness, some slowing down, but it pays off in the long run. And it doesn't mean you have to scrutinize everything forever. And, you know, every meal is going to be, well, I don't know. How does this feel? You, in the beginning, when you're first trying to figure out like what serves your body, what is your body like? What does it not like? It does take a little bit of getting to know yourself again and getting to know, okay, what other options are there that I can bring in that, oh yeah, I like this better. I get energy and it's yummy in my mouth and it's yummy in my tummy and oh my gosh, I'm pooping.
Yeah.
And that feels good too.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Getting that out. It's glorious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so it does take a little bit of the time, but like with anything else, it becomes a new normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not so much work forever. I think that's what we think, what we fear is that, oh, it's so much work to be healthy.
Right. But then it's like, no, I'm just eating what makes me feel good. End of story, you know, or I'm doing the things that I know are going to help with my energy load. that's what's important. So I love all these things that you brought up. Okay. I have one last question because it's one of my favorite questions to ask. And you know, the name of the show is Sparking Wholeness. So if you could give one piece of advice to spark someone toward wholeness, what would it be?
Get your data from your own body. So track it. So we like to use a food mood poop journal. And this is a great tool for anybody who's beginning. It's totally free. You can use a pre-made form. You can use an app. You can use a voice memo on your phone. It doesn't matter. But writing down what you ate, how you felt when you ate it, either like I was super stressed or I was really depressed or I had a fight with my spouse, or I feel really good, or afterward, I felt bloated. And also, you know, that counts as mood. And then your poop. Am I pooping? What does it look like? Was it easy to pass? Was it pebbles? You look at that, that's your data. That's your body telling you, not somebody else, not some prescribed diet, not some dietary theory, because they all work, just not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is you figuring out, okay, on these days I had diarrhea. What did that? Mm-hmm. What was that? Oh, on these days I had great poop and I had great energy and look at what I ate. And so I think that that's the best thing that can spark your wellness is getting that confirmation and that confidence of look how I'm in control of what I'm putting in my body and how I can get my body to respond.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. All right. Tracking. Well, I knew that this is going to be a fun conversation. We are so like-minded. And so this is great. So tell me, where can people learn more about you, work with you, get your information, your website, the ebook, all of that. Where can people go to find
you? Yeah. So thank you for asking. So I'm Health Allie, Health Allie on social media. And you can go to AllisonSaiman.com and you can get my chronic illness recovery guidebook. It's a roadmap that takes you through the steps that I went through. It just won't take you 10 years
to do.
And that's a great place to start.
That's awesome. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show. This was a lot of fun. And I know we could have talked about so many other things. Lasted 3 hours. So we might have to do a part two. Who knows? So thanks again for being on the show.
I appreciate you very much. Thanks.
The tiniest spark leads to the biggest blaze. And I hope that today's episode sparks you on a journey to healing and wholeness. Thanks for listening to Sparking Wholeness. For more information on what I do and my coaching programs, or maybe just to reach out and say, hey, find me at sparkingwholeness.com or on Instagram at sparkingwholeness. Have a fabulous week.